Yeah, I better turn this off. I don't take it away.
All right. To continue the series of vignettes, I said last time I would begin by talking about Yelomim U'Motzim adopted children, both in terms of Kafir Shiras of Sulei Kol, as well as with regard to the writing of the Tzuvah. I will not talk about the question of adoption per se, dealing with the fait accompli. There is an adopted child. First of all, and this is the Inuinian, the Oisli Inuin, although I'm supposed to be talking about Yoni issues, not in Yoni adoption, I'm not going to talk about the adoption per se, but about the Eitan adoption. In dealing with an adopted child, it is certainly advisable, difficult as it may be, for the Rav to get two other people and to make contact with the natural mother and make her say the question about the in front of the best. Now that's difficult, particularly when dealing with an adoption agency, because they usually don't want to disclose all of this. If you manage to pull it off, fine, and you may be able to pull it off. In private adoptions, and most adoptions turn out to be private adoptions, this should not be a problem at all. I say that for two reasons. First of all, that will eliminate all of the shadows totally and completely, and then I don't have to talk anymore today. And two, in terms of female children who are adopted, it will assure that she is kosher with the woman. I'll talk about that a little bit later. And again, it's the word shooting, but you don't have to get her to say the words of a kosher without her. All you have to do is get her to say who the father is. If she says the father is a shagid, then you know that she is, the baby is possible with the woman, you haven't accomplished that. But if she says it's Jewish, all that you have to make sure is that that the individual whom she names is not a mamzer, it's not one of the craving, and you've eliminated most of the problems. But I make the point not simply for this. I make the point with regard to the adoption bichlal. And this is not on the list of non-famous. But as a Jew of Rav Moshe, again, I think it's the Dvarim Shuvim, Rav Moshe says that adoption as it is conducted today is not mutar l'halacha because it has the effect of being mishakeach, the identity of the natural parents, particularly adoption agencies. They don't want the child to know the identity of the natural parents. Again, we don't find that specific case in the Gemara, but the Gemara says the person can't have wives and differences so that the families won't know each other. And the Talmud was you have to have the Zera and Yuvis Akaroa and create a situation in which the Zera won't be Yuvis Akaroa. It's no different from having different wives in different cities. The only way to avoid that shayla. Now, of course, the shayla divides itself into two anomalies. If you're dealing with an adoption agency, for example, already has custody of the child, they were already mishakeach the shemot b'shemimoy. And if you're dealing with a yosin, or a shnuki, and a sufi, whatever it will be, that we'll talk about later, but certainly the loose and adopting the baby once the agency has custody and refuses to divulge identity. But when you become involved in private adoptions and you don't assure that there is a way that the child will later know who the Sule Kurva are, anybody involved in the process is contributing to the user of the user of the Zarekakara. The way to avoid all of that, what is Shidei HaKoyo, even to assure that the child will not know who the natural parents are, assuming that that's advisable. I won't go into that now, it's not our problem. But the way to do that is to have an interview with the mother and let her say, we're cautioning about the or better to identify the individual. And you give the parents a duda saying that the mother came to St. Bezdin and you were Mavara, that she was a Tnuya, and she said, we're cautioning about the. And the identity of all the Caribbean whom this child is not allowed to marry is known to the members of the Bezdin. In and before the child marries, consult the Bezdin to make sure he's not marrying somebody who is also Mitzvah Adin. All that the Bezdin has to do is make a copy of this document, and on the reverse side, make a list of all the craving whom the child is not allowed to marry and their addresses and how many of them can there be. You ask the infant girl for the names of her father and her brother and her sister, her brothers-in-law, and Bechule, go through all the Aroyas, and then you record them, and if you know who the father is, and the father is Jewish, most of the time it'll turn out the father isn't Jewish. If the father is Jewish, you do the same thing for the Kredi-Hol. You'd be Mavar at the same time who the Kredi-Hol. Mavar will record that, and that eliminates the Shaila. This Shaila is eliminated totally and completely. All right, that's not the problem with Yoni issues. The problem with Yoni issues, Nick, yes?
So, in question,
did I began by saying that if you're good and competent, you'll convince them to allow you to do it. But there's no such thing as no way. Everything can be done. They don't want to. It depends where you are. If you're in New York, it's harder. If you're in the Oriya Sota someplace where not everybody is anonymous and impersonal and you can convince them it's necessary and that you are as much of a professional as they, plus, and that you also know about confidentiality, Bakule, that you may be able to do it. It's been done. It can be done. Yes. No, mine is not that New York. Not agency though. Agencies are funding for non agency though, yes. Yeah. Agency adoptions, particularly in this city, is hard to get cooperation. Doesn't mean it's impossible, it's hard.
Non-agency adoptions,
that's the non-agency adoption, yes. Most adoptions, most Jewish adoptions are non-agency adoptions. And for the most part, except in isolated circumstances, you're dealing with non-Jewish children. Show cases in which, for purposes of adoption, a Jewish child is available are very few and far between. And obviously, I've been talking about Jewish adoption. It's not Jewish adoption, I've been talking about. Yeah. They tell you the baby isn't Jewish. And you're saying, let's begin. The problem today, what I want to talk about was post-factum. You're not called to be in the Sabbath Kedushin 20 years later. You're not involved in the adoption, but you are involved in the Kedushin for the child who's been adopted, and you've been told one of two things. Either you've been told that the child is non-Jewish and there was Gerus, or you've been told the child is Jewish and the child has a Jewish mother. In most cases, the agency will not be able to tell you very much about the father, and if they do tell you about the father, it becomes a problem of the mother. So first, when you have a child who is presented by an agency as distinct from a private adoption, where you're dealing with individuals, and there's a virtually direct transfer from the mother to the adoptive parents, usually through the intermediary, a lawyer, a doctor, what have you, but you've got individuals involved who are in a position to know the facts, and they're going to say this may count for something, but if you're dealing in a situation in which you're involved with an agency and there is, for all intents and purposes, a foundling, the first problem is the problem of a Sufi. The Machaber in Siman Dalit, Sif Lamed Aleph, a Sufi Shinesa, Nehashuk, Avi Sofik Mansur, Kegoin, Shein Heichok, Yishulei Hushlak, Yishulei Hushlak, Hashem Misa. Avi Yesh Heichok, Yishulei Hushlak, Hashem Misa, Ben Shesh Heichok, Yishulei Ben Shuhumo, Yivor, Yisukomim, Vuhulei, etc., etc. Then there's no shaila of a Sufi. Then we know it was like Hushlasho, El Mishum Rabbah. I think that the Machaber itself, that's Machaber, without going any further, takes all the shailas of a Sufi with regard to virtually all adoptions. Any simon that's found that indicates that it wasn't exposed for purposes of allowing the child to die eliminates the entire category of a Sufi. You find a child in a poor garbage pail, you've got a problem with a Sufi. If you find a child in the Chotzeh HaKnesses, it won't be examples. Or you find a child in an adoption agency and has been placed there by the mother, clearly the mother did not want the child's desire of exposure or starvation, and it wasn't Hushlach Hashem Ravain. So the Sotik Mamzer of Nasufi seems to me to be automatically eliminated. The only problem then is whether the child has been of a Sotik Adlon. When you're dealing with an Asufi, you have no evidence with regard to whether the child is Jewish or not Jewish. The Mechaber says that insofar as in Yoni Yichus are concerned, whether it's an Irshu Ba'akum or an Irshu Ba'Yisrael, you have to be down the child with a Sofek Akum, and the child needs Gerus, if appropriate, which is my topic, at least Mesof. That's when you're dealing with the standard case of an Asufi. So that if there is such a child, and even if there is a problem of an Asufi, not the Mamzerus problem of Asufi, but the Akum problem of Asufi, Gerus Mesofik, Zil and Mitzvah Mesofik, would eliminate that problem. Now, incidentally, even when the adoption agency tells you that the child is Jewish, the mother was Jewish, there are many Afrenim who maintain that Akum Zevin Abovas and Sir Havlat Kosher means kosher is not a mamzer, it's a kosher or good, and still needs Gerus. Now, Rav Afrenim disagree, but there is a long line of Afrenim who maintain that in Akum Abovas and Soil, the child is a goy and needs Gerus. So in these cases, Gerus Mesofik, or Gerus Lechumra, or Gerus whatever reason you wanted, a dunk in the mikveh eliminates a lot of shaylos. And some of the contemporary Afrenim are not, including one Sakhdin of a Beis Din Eretz Yisrael in Haifa, if I remember correctly, wanted Gerus Lechumra. And you'll find, I think even one of the truths I gave you, if I'm not mistaken, it was the Shuvah Demin Tzitzchok, who quotes Afrenim, and in fact he says, you know, can't harm. Gerus Lechumra is certainly not a bad idea. The real Shilin, where you find the diyunim, the discussions of this, is in Milah. The child is born on Shabbos, and you want to do a bris on Shabbos, and the father is a goy, is this a bris that's laid for Shabbos, it's not laid for Shabbos. We'll leave that for your discussions of Pilchus Milah. Yes. Yes, if Shabbos is Shabbos tomorrow, I can go back to the Shabbos like kosher. What does kosher mean? This is why you have to Shabbos in the training. All right, let me then go to the problem of Asufi. Take up the problem of Shtubi. Having eliminated the problem of Asufi, we know that the child hasn't been cast out because of the mamzer. You still have a problem of a shtuki, particularly in cases in which the adoption agency assures you that the mother was Jewish. And I'm assuming that the adoption agency has no motive to say that the mother was Jewish and that the mother brought the child and surrendered the child for adoption. I'll proceed on the assumption that the adoption agency has no motive. I'll come back to that later. If the adoption agency has nemonis, it's presumably the category of nemonis of Achayo, nemenes Achayo Loimar. That's a whole category of nemonis, and we don't have to analyze the source and the basis, at least right now. I'll come back to that a little bit later. It's so that you apparently are dealing with a standard case of a shtuki. We know who the mother is, but we don't know who the father is. And the pshash for most Rishonim is that the mother may have been nidal to a mamzer and nesin, and the result is that this child is also a mamzer. So there the standard etza is for her to say lekosher nivalti. And if she says lekosher nivalti, she has an amonis, at least for putting aside the child, whether the female is mutter to a kohen, but the child is certainly mutter lekol if she says lekosher nivalti. Now one point I should make. It has happened that adoption agencies will tell you that the father was also Jewish and the mother identified the father, and yes, Rabbi, we know who the father was, and he's a fine, upstanding young man. He wasn't the mamzer, he wasn't this, he wasn't that, he wasn't the other thing. The shaila then is whether the question about the he has to be bifnei beis din, whether the question about the is good enough chutz beis din. And here, if you look at the Yitzhak HaPeis scheme in Simon Dalit, Siv Kuf Dalet and Ois Yud Gimel. He brings a Leif Yehuda. I have no idea who the Leif Yehuda is. The Leif Yehuda says it has to be Bifnei Beis Din. And if I didn't have the word Yehuda, I would have said it myself. Because otherwise, what kind of Akkadah say this is? This is Mishatan Nibor, when she tells the adoption agency, when she tells Chaim, Yanko, or Vero, any time given Harry, why should she become accountable for what she says? And in the case, why should she have an amount? So first it comes to Besdin. If a person signs an affidavit, the person takes something seriously, you may have reason to believe that we can go and be misupik when they are to have an amount, they don't have an amount. The people make statements for which they are clearly in no way responsible. Why should they have an amount? So the late Judah says it has to be Bishnei Bez. However, if you look in the same Eitzer HaPeskin, Eitz Yudzayin, quoting a Ma'arbat, and I have no idea who the Ma'arbat is either, the Ma'arbat, the Mashmois, the Ma'arbat is that it doesn't have to be Bishnei Bez. So that there seems to be, and again I have not checked, I've been trying to find the sources, they are late Achronim, I have found absolutely nothing in Rishonim with regard to whether it has to be Bishnei Bezdin, or whether it doesn't have to be Bishnei Bezdin, but you see, the Eitzah Peskin seems to be that there was a disagreement among Achronim whether this Lakoshim of Alti has to be Bishnei Bezdin. Even with the Marvah, it still would seem to me, even about that would be masculine, which is a version, but it has to be the statement of a woman who's taking this seriously. And she knows it's a question whether the child is mutilakol, not mutilakol. A statement that's made flippantly or a statement that's made under conditions of emotional stress, but who knows what she thinks may depend upon what she's saying. Now she goes to the Jewish Adoption Agency, for all she knows, the adoption agency won't take the baby if she says the father wasn't Jewish. How do you know why she said it? Under those circumstances, I'm reading lengthy with regard to statements that are made chutzlah bezdin, and you have no idea under what circumstances the statements were made. That's why I began by saying that certainly with katchila, you should get two other people and make the yeshivas bezdin and let her say, l'koshen v'alti, or it's equivalent, bishnei bezdin dat. I'll go back now to the Israelites. When you're dealing with a situation 20 years later, and it's the adoption agency that is telling you that it's Lakoshin of Alti, the Lakoshin of Alti, according to the late Yehuda, is of absolutely no avail, because that's not the knowledge of the adoption agency. They typically have not interviewed the father, and even if they have, they haven't made a yeshiva's bezdin. It's the statement of the mother, chutzlah bezdin, to the effect of kosher novelty. So the question is whether the child has a din of the sugya. Now, obviously, we can go through a sugya in sugyas and tefillah, but basically, the Gemara says that there's no question about the, you have to have two roids. You have to have roid year and roid sia. And if you don't have two roids, we have problems. And later we'll come show you my flavors are placing. The Shaila is far from the new Shaila, and on the contrary, I think, yes. The woman who's generic. What's a generic woman? What? We know nothing about it other than what the adoption agency tells us. The adoption agency has identified. The adoption agency is presenting a baby. And you ask, what are the baby's origins? The adoption agency says it has a Jewish mother. Well, I'll come back to that later. In a certain sense, it would be a lot better if you didn't know. Because if you didn't know, then this would be a subject of the Asuti who would lahalot the Bukhara. All the Asuti would need would be Geirus Nesotis. In the year Shurubakum, Nisaiju Nisotis, maybe Nisat Adin. So that a non-Jewish adoption agency, in a certain sense, presents fewer problems lahalot. And if we'll be able to show that the adoption agency has no nemonis at all, then it's a lot easier. Then even if they tell you they had a Jewish mother, what difference does it make? They've got no nemonis, so we're back at square one. Here, Shuruba Akum, it's Nasufi, who is not a Sufi's mamzer, so he's Gerus, and you've got a kosher child, no problem. So in a certain sense, forget about sociological considerations, which are very complex and difficult to analyze. But in Bishata Halokhe, it's a lot simpler if you can ask him that the child is good. that the child is Goy, then assuming that indeed it's mutter to be Megaya, which is not our topic, assuming that it's mutter to be Megaya, there are no further problems of psuri kogia, no psuri evils. If the adoption agency tells you that the child is Jewish, and the adoption agency has that moment, so you have to be gracious for what they tell you, then you've got a problem with shluki. Making the child a Jew creates the problem. If it's a Jew, then it seems to be a classic case of shluki. The mother is Muberes and has no father, and she has a discussion of Alpi. This is the Xeris Kazal of the shluki. I'm sorry.
Can the flowers rope apply anywhere here in dealing with this topic, whether the child is Jewish or not?
Yes, that's the whole problem of the Kinikushal Kishu, but it's Yershu Baku, Yershu Yisrael. It turns out that even Yershu Yisrael, the child has a bit of a softer body. But that's what Shulim was the least of the problems. Either Sharuba Yisrael, where the child is a softer goddess, where you need the Gerus only because of this Mr. Rabbanon, nobody would have any hesitation to be the guy. If it's here Sharuba Aku, and the child has a din of a good, and now the problem is, should we be Magai or not? There are the problems. As I began saying earlier, in contemporary upbringing, besides the few Marma things that I gave you, I am not aware of any other discussions of the Shaila. Despite the fact that it's my seeing Bechol Yom today, I don't know what contemporary face game anybody was written about it besides the ones that I gave you. In the earlier upbringing, we have what is essentially the same Shaila. The earliest is the Leda Biyuda, Ebenezer, Madura Kamen, Simon Zion, and that's the one that's quoted by the Shev Shmaitre. Nu Yeshiva Biyoga, Loi Nivda Kobi Minis Avra, Ki Loi Hoysa Vier, Vahavlat, Nadu Lebenkach Meisoein, Ma'adina Shal Havlat Azer Lovi Vako, Yishduki Yufosu Eroi, The Shaila was one perhaps significant change in the fact pattern is exactly the same Shaila as adoption agency. So you had a child, I'm sorry, you had a woman, the woman became pregnant, the woman gave birth to a child, the woman in the Nadi Yehuda's case has died, and now there's a child who wants to get married. Lakura, the case of the adoption agency, is no different from this case. Here the mother left the city, says the interview that he lay hoist to be here, and therefore the best we couldn't ask her whether the kosher nivolo or not the kosher nivolo. In our cases, she may be the year, but it doesn't help us if we lost her address. The adoption agency won't give us her address, so we can't find her. What difference does it make if we can't find her because she's quickly here, or we can't find her even if she's in the city because we don't have her address? Well, through it seems to be exactly the same, Shaila. Now, the Neidah B'Yehuda, it has their number of Chidushim in Siman Zayin, Chidushim with which later upbringing took a strong exception. The Neidah B'Yehuda was not. He said this child isn't a Shtuki. And the Neidah B'Yehuda certainly is a very strong source, La'atia. We'll see in a moment, there may be other studying as well. The Neidah B'Yehuda, in essence, says that there is a difference between a situation in which one is being done on the woman and a situation in which one is being done on the child alone. In the case of the Gemara, the Sukkot Sukkos deals with the mother and whether the mother is kosher with the claim or not. And there, the whole Sukkot deals essentially with whether the mother is mutter or whether the mother is osur, and as a kind of a prayer, that says Neidah B'Yehuda, we have the same Shaila with regard to the child. But Neidah B'Yehuda, in a situation in which there is no Shaila with regard to the mother because the mother is not alive, and the Shaila is only a Shaila with regard to the child, there Chazal were in Machmer, there were no problems, and as long as Rav Sherin, the one Rav is sufficient, that we don't require that she say Lekosher Nival. Now, there are a number of problems with regard to the Sukkiah and with regard to the Neidah B'Yehuda. First of all, what Neidah B'Yehuda is saying is a Chiddush. Kashrus, the Gemara is talking about the Kashrus of the mother and the Kashrus of the Vlad. The Neidah B'Yehuda is saying that the Kashrus of the Vlad follows logically from whatever the psak is with regard to the mother, and the only reason that we are machmir on the blood, and she doesn't say l'koshim avaldi, is because we have to be machmir on the mother. Now, that's an interesting svara. The only problem is that if that is correct, that seems to be entirely analogous to a Yerideya Shaila, which I presume you all know. It's in the halachas of Kolkavuk, the Machta Machtadomi. You have a Mekulin, and the Mekulin, you found a trade in the butcher store or the slaughterhouse. The problem is that you found the trade after part of the animal was sold. So there's a half an animal in the butcher store and a half an animal that's already been sold. And the animal in the butcher store is also in the Karubas, but in the butcher store it's a Kol Kavua Kamatsa Machtadomi, and the part that is Korish is not a Kavua, the part that is Korish is a Kol Korish Meruba Korish. The problem now is that if you have to be Dan Kavua in the butcher store, does this mean that you can't be Dan Kol Korish on what has already left the butcher store? Because to say Kol Korish and say that half the animal is on one animal. You know, you put them together, you know, it's the same animal. Only this one was a Kol Kavua, and the other one was a Kol Kavua. That's not really the separation. But the Svara is exactly what the Nevi Yehuda seems to be saying. He seems to be saying, because Chazal says, you can't have a Pesach and a Kol Kavua. You can't take an animal, split it in half, say one half a story, and one half a story. You can't take a mother and a child and say that the mother wasn't nibble to a mamzer. But I'm sorry, the mother may have been nibble to a mamzer, and therefore she's also. But the child is finite, not a mamzer. It's impossible. If the mother was nibble to a mamzer, then this child was a mamzer. Those two go together. Then they use in effect saying that is the analysis, the correct analysis of the Gemara. And I presume that they, the Yehuda, would have held that in the case of the butcher store, the animal, or the half the animal that's been sold, is also not kosher, because otherwise, apparently, it's not kosher. And what about all the operating who say the half is kosher? What about even analyzing the Gemara? I'm saying this only for purposes of illustrating the fact that what the Yehuda is saying is certainly a chidush insofar as the Gemara is concerned. Or at least if you analyze the Nevi Yehuda this way, it's a chidush. I'm not sure if that's pshat in the Nevi Yehuda at all. But this is certainly how the Shema, I believe this is how the Shema is understood by the Yehuda. It's certainly the way others understood the Nevi Yehuda. Yes?
There are cases where a person has an amonis for himself, shopping options, and no halacha. It doesn't mean that an issue of psak. Bezin says you're bound by what you said. Now we're going to say that the mamza or whatever is exhausted. That's a dicha scalar. Bezin tells the person, if you declare the scalar, then for you it's failure. Some are going to say shabbat and natural you didn't have it. If it's not me didn't have it, it's me didn't have moments. It's not, certainly not, it doesn't become the kami shmaya galya, this is it. Bezin's kaveya, this is it. It's gross not. As far as anybody else is concerned, it has some other status. It doesn't have to say this, but it has to the person himself. Well, let me go back to the native Yehuda. Whether the native Yehuda can be applied to this situation or not is also to me a matter of doubt. The native Yehuda's case was a case where the mother died, makes the Horein, and now the child is Madinai, shall have love. And the native Yehuda says that since there is no longer a child with regard to the mother, we're perfectly free to apply the usual criteria of halacha to the blood, and it doesn't fall into the new takon, the new gezeira that Chazal made with regard to Shnuki, because they made it only when you were being down on the mother. If this were the only tzad to be not there, I'm not sure that the Nevi Yehuda would be applicable. And that's for a very simple reason. In this case, the mother is still alive. The mother is here. The mother hasn't come to ask us whether she's allowed to marry a Kohen. But how do we know the mother's not going to come tomorrow? Even in terms of mitzvahs, today courts are allowing adoption records to become unsealed. It's entirely possible that tomorrow, or next week, or next year, the mother with the
come and to say, look, what happened 25 years ago happened 25 years ago. Now I'm a Baal's Tshuva, these things are not going to happen again, and I want to get married, and I want to marry a Purim Kohen. Am I allowed to marry a Kohen? So what's going to happen? A year ago, when we were Shalom Adlad, we said we didn't know who the mother was. And we used the Yehudi Sidori to say that this child is in Shluti because the mother was unknown to us. And now, a year later, when the mother comes and identifies herself, and we know that she's the mother of this child, and she now wants to marry a Kohen, this woman certainly can't marry a Kohen unless she says the question of Alpha. Now, it turned out that she can't say the question of Alpha. So now we would say that she's also to a Kohen even though a year ago the Talmud was with her. So when she becomes also to a Kohen, what are we going to do? Say, well, my prayer, the child's a Shnuki. We have to be Mavakul, the old Pesach Din, and we'll have to say that the child's a Shnuki. Ulachura, that can't be. That's also the year of the Yerushalayim, Basakas, not the Basakas. This turns out not to be a Basakas. The child is still living with whoever the child marries. Now the child's going to come with the same Shaila. The Shaila isn't only the time to see their Kedushin. So it's an ongoing Shaila. What are we going to say to the child? Now I would say that the child is also to whoever the child is living with. I mean, it seems to me that it was limited to a case of Meso. Dead women can't ask travels anymore. We know once and for all there can't be anything. Now that's finished. When the mother is still alive, even if she's not this one, they know, I don't think that this lady be who applies. Maybe others for us, but not this one, yes. That's, you know a lot of things that Chazal didn't know. Chazal made it their shtuki because of the case where they couldn't be much.
And the rope is very different then.
So, how the there's not
much. Well, maybe your mother is long-standing with you, but then she comes more child.
No. I give you that as my reductio ad absurdum. It means if that were to happen, what would you do? Therefore, this Lady Yehuda Slora can't apply in such conditions. The Lady Yehuda Slora can apply. Only, I mean, how do you define it there as Chazal from Lady Yehuda? I'm redefining it. The Lady Yehuda meant to say that there's no Zeras Chazal when there cannot possibly be a Diyun on the mother. They were Goyis when they were Goyis on the block too, but they had to be Goyis on the block. You can't be Goyis on the mother without the block. That's the story. When were they Goyis on the block? It seems to be what the Nidhi means to say. They were Goyis on the block, Lav Dafki, when the mother comes to you, when she's Bitei Bezdin. But when Bezdin knows that they have to deal with the Shiloh of the mother, well, we'll have to deal with the child of the mother, then the kid is in the same category as the mother. That's all same in the same, before the matter, it's just one child. But when you know there's no longer a child on the mother, that child has been eliminated forever and ever. There can never be a child on the mother. There, the major piece of Zohar is a good Zohar. I'll soon show you the other state of Zohar differently, which would apply even in adoption cases. But his case is a case of Meisulain, and I think he meant Meisulain top. Yeah.
Could you just say, no, you didn't mean any time we're asking about the baby and the mother? I think you were telling me that the case of Meisulain was as far as you're good. It seems to be any time we're holding the baby and I'm not.
I go through the story again.
I understand. I mean, yeah. I mean, how do we get to the words in those you?
Yeah. Where do I get it in the words in those you? Because Lady Yehuda said, and that's what Lady Yehuda is saying is, that where Chazal were Gezer, they were Gezer on the child because you can't be Gezer on the aim without being Gezer on the child. Now, what do I do with that? That's what he said. Okay. Now my question is, what do you mean? Did he mean what you said when the child came to Fonenu? That's not his Iver, that's how he says. Or does he mean something else? Does he mean that when you're being done on the mother, you have to be done on the child? When you're not being done on the mother, you grow the child? Or did he mean the Chalal Gezeras Chazal was a situation in which even hypothetically there could be a Shaila on the mother? I think he means the latter and not the former. When we come to the Shmaitze will cover both, but for a different reason. Now, if this in effect was shot in the Lady Yehuda, then I do have problems with regard to applying it to standard adoption situation. The Shmaitze disagrees with the Lady Yehuda, as do the Beis Meir, the Kibbutz Shankiv, and the Chen B'Shoyim. There are a whole list of Achronim who disagree with the Lady Yehuda. The Shmaitze, however, accepting the fact
that the, well, let me go back, one step. Chazal were glazer on the mother, and they require two rulings, when she doesn't say the first one about the, because of the possibility that, the mother may have gone to the Baya. And the mother goes to the Baya, then we have the Kol Kavua from Aksa Maksa Zombie. Therefore, they require two rulings. And what they viewed it says, in effect, is that the child is a Kol Kavarish Rubavarish. Why should we go on the child? The child in Mitzius is a Kol Kavarish. There's not even a reason for the Xeris Chazal. I thought we made that point earlier. So that if there is any child with regard to the child, it's only because we have already been Makri as far as the mother is concerned, that this is the law. This is what flows from the sock on the mother. But the Dei Yehuda says that the child is always a kol deporish, meruba porish. Now, I'm not sure that I have explained the Dei Yehuda correctly. If I have explained the Dei Yehuda incorrectly, then I don't even have to say the Dei Yehuda is not applicable. The Dei Yehuda may have meant something entirely different. I'll come back to that a little bit later, or maybe I should say it now. The Shaila is what happened here. If the Nigdi Yud is telling us that the child is a Kol Kavarish, Ruva Kavarish, because now we have discovered the child not in the Mokhan Hadoyel, we have discovered the child someplace else. The mother is a Kol Kavua, or Chazal had reason to think that she was a Kol Kavua, because she may have gone to the Boyel rather than the Boyel going to her. However, if you're being done on whether the mother went to the Boyal or the Boyal went to the mother, the same Shaila with regard to Kavua that exists insofar as the mother is concerned really exists insofar as the child is concerned. Because when is the subject made on the child? The subject made the child at the time of conception. And if the child is conceived with base Haboyal, then there's the same Kol Kavua on the child as there is on the mother. Now, this isn't my slur. Yankiv Bryce says it in the Chelkish Yankiv, or the son of says in the Chelkish Yankiv, but in the notes. It doesn't say this shot in the Nedib Yehuda. I think that's what the Nedib Yehuda meant, which, you know, gives entirely a different perspective to what the Nedib Yehuda is saying. It seems to me that what the Nedib Yehuda is saying is that Chazal were not here when the salt is lower than the A, not because this is our aim, we have two pieces, one of the Kavua and one of the Dirish, but because we're being done on the mother, we're being done on the Mokum Akvius. We have to know how did the mother become Osir Rukain? The mother became Osir Rukain, maybe she went to the Boil. If the mother went to the Boil, there's a Kol Kavua on the child too, the same Kol Kavua that there is on the child, there is on the mother. Mashi Ain came if the child comes to us 20 years later. We, the lots of Mamzerim out there. We want to know, is this child Pirish from this Kohol Mamzerim, or is he Pirish from the Kohol Cherry? At that point, we don't have to be down on whether the mother went to the Baal, the mother didn't go to the Baal. Is it an entirely different child? If so, that may apply in adoption situations as well. When with the mother's not with Romeinu, we have no problems with regard to the mother. We're not being down on whether there was a mother in the first place, whether the mother's crushed her, is not crushed her. This is a child that's later, some later point, a time at which the child is clearly a Pirish, which case is a both Pirish, maybe Ruby Pirish. If this is shot in the view, then maybe you view this applies to practical situations as well. Every child is chosen, that Amanza is middle of the time of conception. I'm sorry? Only the Sophic of the Amanza on the child is a different kind of a Sophic. There's a class of Amzerians and there's a class of Sherry. When we find the child now, 20 years later, our Sophic is this a child who came from this class of Amzerians? They come from the class of Sherry, that's all. Where did he come from? We no longer have to look back to...
Where did the child, which person belongs to, where was the mother that also...
No, because here it's not the mother coming to say, we're talking about the mother coming to say that this is my child, and we're now being barred first the mother and then the child. We're dealing only with the child, and we have such status all the time. We have children, we don't know, they come to the present, and they become the present share. So, if the simple principles of total courage will apply, we say this child is courage from the class share. He disrupted the family at a much later time. It's not made with the time the child was born. It's noted long after the birth of the child, in which case, or the conception of the child, in which case we don't have to go look in terms of whether the conception was a multiple creus and a multiple appearance. That's irrelevant to us at this point. We're not being that in who the child's father was anymore. We are now being that whether this is a child of the class of Manzarian. We can see their Manzarian out there. Is this a class of Manzarian or is it a class of children? It's a much simpler child. This, let me go one step further, we'll make it clear. Because the Schneitzer says a similar story, he agrees with the Neid Yehuda, but loves me time. The Schneitzer says that in a case similar to that Neid Yehuda, the child would be mutter to call, and he says the difference is a very simple one. The difference is whether you find a piece of meat in the street, and the question is, who's coming to ask the child? Is the person who is asking the child, or the person who dropped it in the street, or the person who found it? If the person is back, he's in the store, and they're Tishah Kanduyeh, so they sell also Shvuta, one sold Rosh and Vela, and he doesn't remember which store he entered, that's called the war. The son of the Snail and the Rokha Makhdius. He is now Irish, but the son of the Snail and the Rokha Makhdius, he knows that he went to a store to buy the meat. And when was the Sophic Neilad? The Sophic was Neilad at the time he bought the meat. The same person goes out of the store, he already has a Sophic, and he's on the way to the world past the China. And in the meantime, it just falls out of his bag, and somebody comes and finds it in the street and goes to the same world past the same China. The world tells him it's kosher. Why is it kosher? Because for the Torah, you're rooting for it. The Sophic is Neilad, not Ramok Matthias. The Sophic is Neilad when he's already Irish. The difference is, to whom is it the Sophic, and when was the Sophic Neilad? To the Lich Eyah, the Sophic is Neilad, Ramok Matthias. To the Meitzi Aveda Vishul, it's Neilad, Ramok where it's Irish. Says the Schneitz, it's very simple, but Chazal, Meitzi Zerith, they made the Xerah on the Lekeach Minam the Kulim. The brothers, the Lekeach Minam the Kulim. It's not because we passed on the mother, the passed on the child. The mother brought the child in the same place that she was nibble to wherever the Baal was. That's where she brought the child. She brought the child someplace and doesn't know where she brought it. In the store itself, trading store, the store itself, sharing. She doesn't know whether she bought it from a Manzer or somebody else. And her Sophic, the Sophic, when she comes with the child, the Sophic is Neilad, the more confused. Now, she ain't came when the child comes 20 years later, the child is from Meitzi Aveda Vishul. The child found it long after the mother dropped. Hey, the mother dropped the baby, and the child found itself. The child is now the Meitzi Vishul, and is coming to ask the child. The child is supposed to parish from a part. That's the Shmite, that's not what that dude says. But the same halakha. Schneitzer is with a different story. According to the Schneitzer, this clearly applies to the adoption situation. For the Schneitzer, there's no Sophic. That the adoption situations, you have to call the Gorish, the Ruba Gorish, and the child will be moving. The problem, and the real problem is, all this is very nice. But there's a Rambam that seems to contradict it. The Rambam there has brought the Yisrubiya Halokhi Yudbeis. The Rambam in Perik has brought Halokhi Yudbeis says as follows. In Halokhi Yudala, Mishin Sakhar Mishnus, Omrubo, Aluber, Hazeh, Ayayolub Hazeh. If Omro, then Kosher, the servant of the Haredithu, then Nenezra, then Kosher. That's your question about it, no problem. How long do you say? The Leinitakoima, Achenezra, the Kulei. Then says the Rambam, Haredithu, Hayogu, Sokhut, Nazar. In Leinitakoima, Achenezra, that's a very big case.
the mother actually alive would have to ask her the question about or not the question about. She said the question about is good, but when you look at your mace or I'm uncertain, it's not the answer.
No, so the Nezibidu, to the best of my knowledge, says nothing about the Rambam. The Shmaisa says that the Rambam's talking in a case of rape suing. I can't find that in the Rambam at all. The only other parrot that I have from the Rambam is that the Rambam is talking in a case in the Yitzhak Ta'ima Acha Mesa, the Dokum, so it follows from Yudala. New Yishin's Abra, Omruwa. We asked her, what happened? And in Boyditika, she didn't answer. Then the child is on the Kamzer, because why? And according to the Schmeitzer, Schmeitzer doesn't say this, but he should have. It's beautiful. The Shaila is now, the blesses all Schmeitzer's whole wonders. It depends upon who's asking the Shaila and what the Shaila is. Is it the Chaos and the Kulin or the Meitzer Yishuv? Here, the mother who comes to the Esmer, and the mother is asking the Shaila, and we didn't have it. We did the question, didn't say, the question of all things, she died in front of us, and so the child was up, of course. We see the Sophic Mela, the Lord of Machias, the person who bought it, he came to ask the Shaila, and could have said the question of all things, but didn't, and therefore the plot is the Sophic Namsen. But if the whole Sophic comes after the mother died, or when the mother isn't here, because who knows where the mother is, under those circumstances, the Rambam didn't say that they saw the child is also. After the it's certainly a Deutsch. The Schneid is on the house of the Rambam, is even a greater Deutsch. The real problem with all of this is the language of the Rambam. Now, what the other spoke to be mad here, the native Yehuda himself, without going to all the Shittas and Rishonim, the native Yehuda himself is Makri, according to the Rishonim, would say that one rite is sufficient and you don't need two rites. In most cases, in virtually all cases, you have at least great sharing, great severe sharing, connected to Mamzerim or others who could make this possible at all. And the Nation of Yehuda is Machriya, that one roi is enough. Actually, it's a Machlekes, the Balamor, and the Ramban, with most Rishonim disagreeing with the Balamor, most Rishonim agreeing with the Ramban, maintaining that you need two roids, Reib Ir and Reib Sia. The Schmeitzer himself says that the Rishonim who disagree with the Baal HaMor would be made a Bishak HaKak that you can rely on one roid. I don't want to go through all of that, and they proceed to say that there's a world of difference to say the child is Kuki and can't marry anybody, that's a Shas HaKak. When you're dealing with other problems, it may not be a shot of crack, so Schmeitzer says, well, okay, that you can rely on a single rite. So you have to know that. Sorry? Lakura. That's why I didn't want to, yeah, I don't want to answer that. Rely on a single, rite. The other shot cooler that may exist, and this is not to be brushed aside so quickly in adoption cases, and it will turn out to be a kula even for the pashtus of the Rambam, if you're dealing in a small town. There are a number of Rambamim who make the obvious point and say that if there's no mamzer, you don't need a lakoshim about it. Who could the father be? If the father, no mamzer in the city, then how could the lot possibly be possible? Now, Baben Yisena Harabim, I presume that in large cities there's at least one mamzer, and probably the mamzer who is known. However, I am sure that there are places where there is no known mamzer, and you know, in those cases where there's no known mamzer, then there's no problem altogether. And in many of these cases, you're dealing with smaller communities, and that may be a svara to be mistaken. One point I should
talking about caravans coming to all of
well, I'll come to that in a second. I'll talk about that in a second. The other point is that the Lukiyosef and Lukura Rashi says the Shaila isn't only a mamzer, but if an unmarried woman becomes mugur at Mikheshish, that the father may have been someone who is a korah. So if you have a problem with incestuous relationship. Now, the Schmeitzer himself says it's only a dasyochid. Everybody else says you don't have to. Everybody besides the Muki Yosef says that the only shash is mamzer on the scene, but it's not an incestuous relationship. Rashi, whom Rashi is Kedushin,
whom the Shemaitah doesn't quote, also seems to say Sakharov, and the Chalcha Shenkin speaks about that. But I've just added this as another sneer. Particularly if it's a smaller community where there's nobody, it's mostly there's a mamzer, then there may not be a Shaila altogether. It seems to me that there are two other studying to be matter. I'm sorry, Rabbi Gordon.
I just thought that once one eliminates the problem from the situation, it becomes not only a
need,
but it becomes a
need for the whole of the Shaila. Well, the Shaila is what we're Chazal Feshish for. Shaila is only being brought on them. They could have been based on a need to be used too.
I mean, the Shaila, I think we're able to say that the Shaila are only built around a situation where not there are a significant extra population, even though not broke. In our society,
we have fewer mamzerim than they had once upon a time.
We live in a basically non-Jewish society.
So?
Already, when we add the non-Jews to the Jewish community, we're
When you add the non-Jews to the Jews, you end up with a, yeah.
I mean, there are very few known mamzerim, even in such a Jewish city as New York.
But in the Sena Harabi, the number is growing. There's not so few anymore.
Okay.
But how many Mamzerim do you think existed in the Chazal? Nesinim, I don't know about. Maybe there were enough Nesinim.
That's why I was looking for Kashi tomorrow with my Rashi, that there were a bunch of Mamzerim.
Maybe. The Shemaitah says Rosh Hashanah disagree with Rashi. Aren't there? Two other stories. Number one, it seems to me that there's a hetter meruva that we have two roads. And with two roads, you don't need kosher medalty, except, according to the Rambam, if it's a female, for her to marry a kohen. But for psulei kol, with two roads, you don't need kosher medalty. Now, what bothers everybody is, everybody quotes the Binyan Tzin, the second paragraph, Binyan Tzin after Gosher Shutfes. Binyan Tzin says, Trei rubeis milsav l'shnichav is manenam. You can't have two roads, is manenam. If you go back to the Gemara, the Rambam, the Rishonim, the Gemara's two roads were a situation in which the woman became pregnant someplace on the Ein Hadera. She was out someplace and she was in the Zama. So you had two roads. What was the two roads? She was near a city, a village, so you have roads for the city, and then you have roads for the caravan, the seers, whoever travels on the road. And these are two identifiable populations. So with two roads, they were mashpir. That's the classic case of two roads. Now that clearly is loishchiyah. We don't have, you know, these women who became pregnant, didn't become pregnant someplace in the, what you said before, a truck stop outside the city. That's usually not where it happened. If it happened in the truck stop outside the city, it's clear that they're two roads. However, you have in the Machaber, in Ibn Ezra, the Machaber says that two sheikhs and the eight Protestant Bahalotte, that two roads are not only when you're dealing with someplace outside the city, but in the city in which there are seers. So you have a road to the city, and then you have the road to the tourists who aren't residents of the city. They're the caravans who come to the city. What difference does it make? If it's outside the city or in the city, as long as you have two different identifiable populations, that's what Chazal we're talking about when they talk about two roads. You have roads for the city you're sharing, you got another road for the people out there who are sharing. And I understand why the Binyan Tzion says it's like Shkia Klau, because it's just, you know, he lived in a different world. He lived in Kalsaru. Kalsaru was almost like a little shtetl, and there weren't numbers of tourists coming every day. So you didn't have the second road. Today is Manenu in any large city. It seems to me it's a double portion. You have two roads. You have the roads of the city and the roads of all those thousands of people who come in Tidewild every day. I mean, that's another road. Those are the two roads. And you find some upbringings who say that where there are two roads, there's no problem, and that there can be two roads is Manenu. That seems to me to be the best heter and the most solid of the heterim. We do have two roads, therefore it shouldn't be a problem at all. I have another, something of a chiddush. I have another tzad that I think is also something one can be mistaken to all the heterim. The Nevi Yehuda begins the tshuva with a very strong kasha. He asks, Chazal tell us, Sufi, the Sufi mountain, and if you find that the Sufi wasn't left Mahmas, he wasn't left to die, but there was either a task that they attached to him to identify him, or they left him and exceeded Rishi Sarabi more on the base of Knesset, or where have you, where it's clear the mother didn't want him to die, not in that Sophic monster. Says in the estimate, who defines it's not Masubi? Why isn't it Shtuki? We still know who the father is. Why is it any better than the mother who comes with a child and says, I won't tell you who the father is? So why isn't it the same problem all over again? That's the Kashmiri. He says the terrors, which he then refutes. The terrors that he says is that there is a world of difference between a Shtuki and an Asufi. A Shtuki is born of Znus. An Asufi is not born of Znus. There's no race of Znus in Asufi. An Asufi is, you find him outside. See, what we were afraid of, that he was a mamzer, and they left him to die because he's a mamzer. Wherever we have a simon, that they didn't leave him to die, so there's no, what then was it? Machmas Ravain. Why should we be afraid she was Mizana? Why should she be from any other woman? If you find somebody 20 years later, you're not Kleshish, this is a product of Nus. Make it basically your Kleshish, that's a product of Nus, the son of the Kalkashankis. The Kalkashankis seemed to think there was a trial on all the kids coming out of the DP camps, the parents were exterminated by the Nazis. These are Shtukis. And the son says, no, what are you talking about, a Shtuki? Somebody was born, raised, and the parents disappeared. That's not called a Shtuki. Why should the Kleshish that the child was born as Nus? Shtukis when there's a race. A woman comes without a husband and has a child, that's a racist. You see, there was a nicest nurse. But unless you see a nicest nurse, every woman has a Heskes Kasheris, we presume that there was no nicest nurse. So that's maybe this first heresy to this Kasher that he has. He says, why isn't that with Shtuki also and a Sufi? So that even if we see there was Mahamas Rava and she should be a Shtuki, and we should have to ask her, do we have a question about things? So he says this is a heresy, and then he goes on, he has Kasher on the heresy. It seems to me that some of our Ukrainian help with theories. If they did, then I go back to the point that you raised at the very beginning, the adoption agency. Who says that they have no mothers? They're telling us that this is the child of an unwed mother. There are other ways that you find your way to an adoption agency or to an orphan asylum. If the parents can't support the child. If they don't have nemonis, then why should we be patient for Znus? Maybe the child was surrendered by two natural parents because they couldn't support it. If they don't have nemonis, and my impression is that they aren't exactly your age flaming in these adoption agencies, if they don't have nemonis in the first place, then how do they have nemonis to tell me that this child is a Shtuki? And even if they do have nemonis of an Eid Echod, it's very hard to find a situation in which you have two aiding to tell you this child is a Shtuki. The son of the Mithokashankiv talks not about the adoption issue, but about our Koyas, in a footnote, and says our Koyas have nemonis only because of Takonis Kakomim or Leroy Marum Nosom. But they certainly don't have nemonis to apostle anybody. That kind of nemonis Chazal never gave them. The nemonis of a chayev is nemonis to identify the child at the time of later. It's a particular nemonis that Chazal gave them. I don't know why adoption agency should have nemonis to apostle to say a child is Shtuki. I don't see the Chazal gave a chayev nemonis to say a child is Shtuki. They gave the chayev nemonis to say he's a king, he's a lady, he's Israel. Whatever mnemonis they gave to identify who the mother is, that's mnemonis of a chaya. Whatever the grounds and the yisod of that mnemonis are. But for the adoption agency, we know why they're saying it's Jewish. It's in their interest to say it's Jewish. It justifies their existence. The Jews, the so-called Jewish adoption agencies, don't have Jewish babies. There's a dearth of Jewish babies. Most of the ones they have are non-Jewish. They would like the statistics to say that they're all Jewish. It's good for their particular existence. It justifies their existence and justifies their funding. Everything goes along with it. And Lashpiach Mechon, they say they're Jewish and they have to pay so they should have nemonis. If we ourselves don't have to be marked with the Reyes, as the native Yudah says in one Sevorah, then Lachura, the adoption agency, shouldn't have nemonis to say that the child is born of an unwed mother. And if there's no nemonis to say that it was born of an unwed mother, then we have a situation which is no race in the first place, and you don't need a question about it. Yes.
Well, if that's the case, then we'll have to assume the child is nothing to it.
Fine. I began by saying that's the best of all possibilities. I think the child is sophically anyway. I think you shouldn't be dugeris, at least yourself, dugeris mekum or what have you. For this, you're going to have to give them an amonis to say that it's not a goy. I have reason to suspect an amonis in the first place. But for purposes of halacha, if you establish the child as a goy, the best of all situations. Probably will be anyway. Because the unwed mother probably was nizan with a goy. You can't just not ask. If they have them on this, then Zephyr Brewery will be that. For whatever the information is worth, you've got to solicit it.
So you
can't create the salt.
So where are they getting their money? Well,
I'm not sure. If they have them on this, then you have to ask them. If they have no them on this, then asking is going to make a difference. Right? If I'm right, they don't have them on this.
Right.
This. So you have no reason to ask. If I'm wrong, then you have to ask. Right? This is just another sniff. I mean, I think that the putting all study ahead of it together, I think that there's no problem at all. Particularly Lania's ideas, and again, even when you find it, it comes as a kind of a sniff, but I think that the strongest heter is the heter of Trey Rube, it seems to me, a double portion, that in most large cities, at least, I don't know about the small towns, but in large cities where there are not large numbers of tourists, there are clearly two roys, and two roys is sufficient. Yes?
You also think that while upright and child would have to be with the subject of the
that the child has to be treated as a sophic fossil with the woman. Yes, because the cheapest around my is that that even two roids need the caution of Alfie to be master with woman. Who said so? Okay, takes it doesn't escort
the
Rambam.
No.
The Rambam holds even two roids isn't enough to be master lakum in the case of the Shtuki. Lakoshin of Alti, the Rambam holds that without Lakoshin of Alti, even two roids isn't enough.
But I don't know about the husband, I'll assume the father is Jewish. I'll assume that I want to know the child in the Nakhe, he says the mother is Jewish, and for whatever reason they're never.
Is the child possible with whom? The mother has not said the portion of Alpha. If the mother hasn't said the portion of Alpha, Lakur, the child's possible with whom? It's a girl. Right? Right. The Lakur, the child's possible with whom? According to the Rambam, even with trade rates, it's possible with whom. Unless she says the question of Alfie.
She's not, but I don't. Ram,
the child also, huh?
But Ramji did the child with open to my own design instruction.
The child, 1 second.
You're right, one second.
The mother, you're right. The mother is supposed to look on it, even with two rays until she says, the question of the why they be talking with the coin sheets that surround them? Yeah.
So, a lot of money is given the fact that it's already a subject and we may leave it on the water, but even if we were a diet,
we might be made to look at it. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's more complicated. Alright, I was going to talk about the ksuba of this adopted child. This was the hakdoma of the ksuba. I will begin with the ksuba next time. Once, incidentally, on the Mara Mekamis, there are two mistakes. First of all, Igris Mesh and the Gulach Atzmai, Chelik Aleph Siman Kuf Aleph is correct. The second one that says Chelik Beis, first of all, it's Chelik Dalid, not Chelik Beis, and it's not Ebn Ezra Chelik Dalid, it's Arachayim. Chelik Dalid, Simin Kuf Yud Ches. It's the if you're choosing on something else, it's the last paragraph of that truth. And again, under Kufa Akar Shkia Sakano, it's Igris Moshe Ebn Ezer Chelik Dalid, not Chelik Beis.
I don't know. 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 I don't know
very, very, very common. People adopt a daughter, they take the daughter. For whatever reason, they assume the adoption is there.